Hi everyone, and thanks for joining. I'm very excited to be here. My name is Panayotis, and by the end of the talk, I hope to get you interested in writing your first emulator. A few words about me. When it comes to science and technology, I enjoy all sorts of tinkering. I like playing around with electronics, building DIY projects, and I occasionally build carnival costumes. I enjoy swimming, which is something I try to do every day all year round. And of course, I also enjoy programming computers, and that's why by day I work as a software developer. So on to the main subject. I'll try to present you with good reasons as to why writing your first emulator can be awesome. This will be through arguments which I've cherry-picked out of my personal experiences and through my interest in emulators. Hopefully with any potential bias filtered out. I'll be focusing on the why rather than on the how you'd go about writing an emulator. For one, there are other speakers in this dev room more qualified to talk about the latter. And for another, I believe that why you would do something in the first place is the most important question to answer. I also find that answering the why question nicely complements and naturally leads to the how you would do something. Some technical knowledge would help in being able to follow this talk. For example, although the list is not necessarily conclusive, people with a good grasp of computer science fundamentals and programming experience should be able to easily follow along. Beyond this, any curiosity about the inner workings of a computer, a general interest in retro computing or gaming console history should help you stay awake for the next 20 minutes. So let's get right to it. Let me first explain how this talk came to be. While I have had a very special interest in console emulators for a long time, just in case not clear yet, I had always dismissed this fact to be just another one of my quirks, and I never tried or never had a reason really to understand why this apparently very specific interest of mine existed in the first place. Then sometime last December, I received an email from the FOSDEM mailing list calling for papers on emulator development, which meant that for the first time, there was going to be a dev room dedicated to emulators. And needless to say, I pretty much flipped out upon realizing this. Of course, while at that moment I knew where I would be spending the better part of my FOSDEM Saturday, I didn't plan on giving a talk. And anyway, after cooling down from reading this news, that question in the back of my mind resurfaced. Why? Why do I think emulators are so cool? And why won't I stop talking about emulators at every opportunity? At this point, I also realized that investigating this could also help answer the question, why won't my friends invite me out for drinks anymore, which I thought would be a nice bonus. But joking aside, the more I thought about it, the more I realized that such an answer could also be of interest to other people attending the very same dev room that got me excited in the first place. So I decided to actually look into it, put my findings in a slideshow, and here we are. So how did I go about answering the why? Looking into the past, I initially came up with the following. I've apparently always liked computers, and also having played my fair share of video games as a kid, I have awesome memories of spending hours looking for the last few gems in Spyro 2 to get to the 100% game completion, along with the bragging rights that came with it. And furthermore, I got my first ever PC in the early 2000s, and that was after I managed to convince my parents that having a computer was a prerequisite for being able to complete high school. So, playing a lot of video games back then, you can imagine that a new world of possibility was before my eyes once I realized that I could also play console games on the same computer. And it so happened that emulators were some of the first programs that I ran on that PC. And by the way, if you get any nostalgia by these screenshots, then I'm happy to inform you that you're in the right FOSDEM dev room. Beyond this, I have always had an itch to understand how stuff works on the inside. I have been taking my toys apart since I was 5 years old, and I can proudly report that I have not broken all of them in the process. And finally, I'm also fascinated by the stories that can be told about the project. For example, in the context of gaming consoles, there's a Sony-Nintendo partnership that fell apart before the original PlayStation took the form that we know today. So during this trip down memory lane, I recalled a particular incident from a few years back after which I decided to have a go at writing an emulator myself, and it went down like this. During that incident, I had a flashback from my high school years, and I remembered that at the time, I really looked up to the people developing the emulators that I was running on my PC. And exactly because I looked up to them, I wanted to do the same thing that they did. But I couldn't because I didn't know how to program a computer. So I fast forward to the mid-2010s and I get my light bulb moment. I say, wait a minute, now I program computers for a living, so I could and I should have a shot at this. So I then started searching online to get an idea of how I should go about this, and eventually decided to put some time aside to write a CHIP-8 interpreter. That was, like for many other people, the first glimpse of what it can feel like to be involved with emulator development. I should mention here that the CHIP-8 is a system specification, or that of a virtual machine if you like, rather than actual hardware. It was developed in the 1970s in order to enable easy programming of games for the computers of that era. Thus, technically speaking, a CHIP-8 interpreter is not actually emulating any hardware. That being said, it's still a great place to start in this domain, as it does put you in the right track while also being a simple and well-documented system. And you can think of it as the hello world of emulator development. So back then, when I was developing that CHIP-8 interpreter, I remember having a lot of fun doing it and having a general sense of euphoria throughout the experience. And for this talk, I searched around, and after a couple of hours of digging my way through files, I actually managed to find the source code. And I compiled it, and I ran it, and I loaded the game, and recorded the amazing gameplay footage that you can see on the screen. For anyone interested, the graphics and input were handled using SDL. As a side note, I also remember showing this off to my friends back then, but they didn't seem to share my level of enthusiasm for whatever reason. Anyway, at this point, following the general theme of this journey, I wanted to pinpoint why exactly this was so fun and to present hopefully objective arguments as to why this could also be appealing to other people. Okay, so when creating this slide, I wanted to be absolutely sure that I convey my enthusiasm, so I came up with a metaphor, which I thought could also make me sound sophisticated for my first talk at FOSDEM, and it goes like this. The process of developing an emulator is analogous to that of beating a video game. When you implement the core functionality of the system, such as handling instructions that an emulated processor will need to execute, drawing graphics, or handling user input, that's when you're playing the main story mode. This goes nicely with the fact that both the hardware you want to emulate and the software you want to run are effectively frozen in time. Thus, the whole process has a relatively well-defined beginning and ending. And you will likely have the system specification available that in this metaphor serves as the rules of the game, by which you'll need to abide if you want to complete it. Then, after you complete the main story mode, you can do all sorts of optional side quests through which you could unlock a permanent superpower, for example. In this metaphor, this corresponds to adding extra features to the emulator, which you will do once again inside the sandbox of this metaphorical game, since you will still need to play by its rule to some extent. So, if you've ever switched from playing Pokemon on an emulator to playing on actual Game Boy hardware, you will know how not having a fast forward button can feel like a big downgrade. And the same could be said about save states. When creating a save state, you are taking a snapshot of the state of the system, meaning the contents of the registers and memory, and you save it on disk for later use. So as you can imagine, whenever you decide to load this state at a later time, you'll be able to continue exactly where you left off. You can compare this to what you'd get when you put a virtual machine to hibernate and then go and boot it up afterwards. In a video game, this possibility can be especially useful if you need to pause playing under circumstances that a game doesn't allow you to actually save your progress. Taking it further, you could also implicitly keep a history of these system states while you're playing the game. For example, you might decide to store the system state every half a second and keep the states in a queue that can hold up to 20 of them. This means that at any point, you'll have the last 10 seconds of gameplay cached and accessible in half a second steps. So you might have realized where I'm going with this. This continuous state sampling allows you to easily roll back time in the game. For example, if you need to undo a mistake from a few seconds ago. Of course, the list goes on, but the main takeaway here is that an emulator can have an improved and a richer feature set compared to the actual hardware, and it has the potential to beat the game when it comes to performance, which I think is pretty awesome when you consider the fact that you're running a game which wasn't compiled to run natively on the hardware you're using. Beyond the cheesy metaphor that you just had to suffer through, why can I say that this was interesting? It was effectively computing done backwards, because you're in the situation where you have the software being complete, but the hardware being incomplete, and actually it doesn't even exist when you start. So what do? You build this computer, and since you're building it with software, you have all the tools you need at your disposal. And what is really cool about this computing done backwards thing is that once you're confident that you're emulating all of the system's instructions correctly, which is a milestone that you've likely reached by loading some relatively simple games, you can generally expect other games, even more complex ones, to just work. And as a side note, if you do decide to write a Chip8 interpreter after watching this, I recommend setting aside a game or two that you forget about and only try loading after you've reached this milestone. You will get an incredible sense of accomplishment from it, assuming, of course, that you don't get something like this. Furthermore, when learning something new, I find it especially important to do so in a context that matters to me and one that I can relate to. Otherwise, it can start feeling like a chore. So someone might want to write a console emulator as opposed to an emulator for some arbitrary CPU core because they're into video games in general, or if you're like me, because of the nostalgia that you get from revisiting the games of your childhood. And a few more points to wrap up this section. The end result of such a project is pretty self-explanatory, meaning that you get to see a video game come to life. And games are always cool and most people can relate to them in one way or another. So given that others can relate to the end result as well, you can feel comfortable or even excited to show it off. It's really unlikely that you'll have to answer the question, so what does it do, when you show off your project to your friends in trying to explain why you have gone missing for over a month now. That being said, I'm sorry to say that most likely you will still be asked the question, why did you even bother to do this? But given the fact that you're still watching this talk, I think you should already be able to put a compelling answer together. And finally, as a bonus, for a hobby project that enables you to play a video game, you don't even have to write that game. So moving on, writing an emulator can be an awesome learning experience. There's obviously a technical aspect to this, as you get to revisit concepts of computer science like registers and memory and interrupts. And while a lot of people are taught about these concepts in university in order to just be able to pass an exam, you now get to witness their importance and what role they play on the output of a piece of software that you find relevant, using an awesome tool that you created, which effectively allows you to see what's happening on the inside of a gaming console when it's running a game. In addition, getting close and personal with the inside of a system can get you curious to also learn things outside of this more or less anticipated technical context, meaning to learn about the history of gaming consoles, the people behind them, and interesting stories about their games. I've included two examples here. One is about the awesome hacks that developers of the first Crash Bandicoot came up with in order to reach the level of visual detail that they wanted for the game, as the SDK provided by Sony just wasn't going to cut it. And the other is about the port of Resident Evil 2 for the Nintendo 64. The team that was assigned this project managed to squeeze a game sized well over a gigabyte into just 64 megabytes, which was the maximum that a Nintendo 64 cartridge allowed. Of course, learning about the history of a system is just a nice side effect and not a prerequisite for writing an emulator, but It's still cool, nevertheless. The nature of a project such as an emulator will help you appreciate the importance of best practices when developing software. You get to see the direct impact of code efficiency on performance, or at least more so when compared to other types of projects. And being a complex project, your code needs to be maintainable, even if you're the only one working on it. Otherwise, you can be sure you'll find yourself lost when you resume development after even a few days of a break. Now, even if this seems obvious, I'll point it out anyway, debugging a complex project using only printf statements won't cut it. If you want to keep your sanity, you will use a debugger, and you should anyway be trying to make the most out of it when developing software. Beyond this, debuggers have an important place in the world of emulators, and you will likely write one yourself in order to be able to debug and understand the code of the game itself as part of your effort to make your emulator play nice with that game. Furthermore, you'll be reminded about what stuff we might take for granted today. Things like high-level languages, libraries, and tools that make our lives much easier by abstracting away a lot of the gory details, and even the possibility of being able to update software after it has been released or deployed is something we take for granted. So for when the Gran Turismo 2 was released for the original PlayStation in 1999, the Japanese version of the game actually shipped with a bug that prevented players from reaching 100% completion. And remember that that game could only run off of the disc that it shipped on, and thus could not be feasibly patched in any way. So Sony had to eventually send replacement discs to customers. To state once again the obvious, during this journey you will be using tools, consulting with documentation, and possibly source code that other people decided to share with the world. And the importance of this cannot be overstated. The efforts of communities that share their work for everyone to benefit from have a direct impact on improving our everyday lives, let alone our lives as developers. And when it comes to the emulator development scene in particular, it's because of people like them that not just technical knowledge is preserved, but also the history and legacy of the systems. Sure, this can be in the form of an emulator, of course, since you'll be able to experience games developed for systems which will be increasingly harder to get a hold of as time passes by, let alone in working condition. But also all forms of documentation play their part in this, like retro computing blogs run by individuals. Furthermore, these systems live on through the efforts of people developing software for them long after they had been discontinued. The screenshot you see here is from a homebrew game called Micro City. It was developed from scratch for the Game Boy, and it's possible to play it on an emulator, of course, but also you can download it onto a flash card and play it on an actual Game Boy. The source code for it can be found on GitHub. And of course, what enables the development of these homebrew games in the first place is, to a great extent, the existence of emulators. To wrap it up, writing an emulator is a fun, educational, but at the same time inspiring and humbling journey, which when experienced appropriately can push you to become a better engineer. Alright, so as we reach the end of the talk, I'd like to also point out that emulator development is more accessible today compared to, say, 20 years ago. Firstly, computers are faster today when compared to the early 2000s, and thus you can potentially write a decently performing emulator in a language that is not C, C++, or Rust. If you do decide to go that way though, say because you are more confident in developing in another language, then depending on the system you will want to emulate, you should set the right expectation when it comes to the outcome. And once again, I'm talking about performance here. That being said, it doesn't invalidate how fun and how rewarding the whole journey can be. And secondly, and more importantly, the world today is more connected than ever. You can very easily reach out to people or find information you might need. There are numerous communities that you can join and actively participate in, like an emulator development subreddit or a Discord server. And people in such enthusiastic communities are generally more than happy to help and to point you to the right direction when necessary. And beyond this, there is really no shortage of resources available for you to get started. So that's all. Have fun, Thank you very much for sticking through. I hope you enjoyed attending the talk as much as I enjoyed putting it together. And I'd really appreciate if you took a few seconds to complete the short feedback form of this talk. Beyond this, I'll see you next year in Brussels, hopefully once again in an emulator development dev room.
Hey. I'm muted again.
Okay, great.